Matthew chapter 20, verse 1, is where we got to. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. We'd been on Matthew chapter 19 for some time. And that chapter, recall, began with talking about divorce, remarriage, and so forth, and why God instituted marriage. And then we talked about the rich young ruler and some implications of that account. And then chapter 19 ended up with the fact that everyone who's left houses or brothers or sisters or father, mother, wife, children, lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. Well, that that same account or that same idea is now given kind of a, I guess, an analogy next. Remember, there were no chapter or verse divisions when it was given by the Holy Spirit. So this is just a continuation of what he was talking about. And of course, we'll see that. This account is given in all three. Well, the what we've just been talking about has been given in all three accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And remember, Matthew, Mark, and Luke are, sometimes they're called the synoptic gospels because they kind of put together Christ's life, and they have a lot of similarities. Whereas John, which John's account of the gospel was apparently written quite a bit later, and really includes a lot of things that are not in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke have a lot of the same stories, same accounts, same teachings, same parables. But when you get to John, John's quite a bit different. And of course, John includes more of the last week of Jesus' life. And the other three do. So that's why you see a lot of, when we study the life of Christ, we'll study Matthew, Mark, and Luke a lot of the times together. But then John will be by itself because it was written in some ways as a supplement to the first three. And so when you have all four together, you have a very much fuller, more complete, more detailed account of all of Christ's life. Now, John doesn't do a lot about the first of Jesus' life. Yes. Yeah, and it's a very, when you read John's account, it's quite different. And it's because of that. He kind of, like C.L. says, looks back because it was written the last of the four accounts of the gospel. And, you know, includes some things the others don't. But, like you said, kind of wraps it up, ties it up, I guess would be a good way to describe it. Well, in this, what we're doing in Matthew chapter 20, this is just a continuation of what he was talking about in Matthew chapter 19. This time he talks about how this is likened to the kingdom of heaven. You know, Jesus does that a lot. The kingdom of heaven is like. And it's not, when he gives one of these, it's not that he gives every aspect of the kingdom of heaven in one little account. To do that, you know, to find out what the kingdom of heaven is like, you have to look at the entire New Testament. So this is what he's going to talk about in Matthew chapter 20, just teaches, you know, a couple of aspects of the kingdom of heaven. And we, like all of his teachings, you can't take it and assume that's everything you need to know about the kingdom of heaven is all taught in one little section. No, that's not true. He's usually trying to emphasize one or two points, and that's what he does here. So in Matthew chapter 20, verse 1, he begins... For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. So he says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And he uses, like he always does, you know, common everyday experiences that all the people he's talking to would know. And that's what it's like. A landowner, someone who, you know, owns lands, is running a vineyard, owns a vineyard. Okay, it's his vineyard. And so what does he do? Well, he goes out early in the morning, okay, the very beginning of the workday, I guess you'd say. to hire laborers, people to work in his vineyard. And he says that's what the kingdom of heaven is like that. So throughout this account, we have to go back and think, okay, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. That's what he's stressing. So, when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. So it's like a lot of things. I know my dad, in his business, he'll sometimes go down and hire somebody from the temporary, whatever the, you know, places are called. I think there's different ones, but for one day. He'll go down first thing in the morning and say, I'll pay you so much for the day, you know, to work so many hours for so much money. Well, that's what he was doing here. There's these laborers. He says, okay, I'm going to pay you. A denarius a day was a pretty typical wage for working all day in the first century. So he says, that's what I'm going to pay you for working today in my vineyard. All right, and that was all agreed upon. Everybody was happy with it. They accepted it, said, yep, we'll do it. That's exactly what we'll do. Well, he went out about the third hour. Well, that Jewish time was about 9 o'clock. Remember, Jewish time for this would start about 6, so the third hour would be 9 o'clock. So the others had apparently been working for 3 hours when he goes out and needs more people. So he sees some people, verse 3, standing idle in the marketplace. Okay, there's more people. Okay, he obviously, you know, wanted some more people to work or needed some more people to work. And he finds these people and they're not doing anything. Okay, they're waiting. I remember going, we were in Springfield, I don't remember, about a week ago, and we drove by one of those temporary employment places. And outside there were two or three people, you know, waiting to see if somebody would come by hiring for the day. Well, these people are just kind of idle. They're in the marketplace, not doing anything, don't have a job. And so he sees them and says, he sees that they're not working. Okay? It wasn't that they're working for someone else. He sees they're not working and says to them, you also go into the vineyard and whatever is right, I will give you. So they went. And he doesn't say, I'm going to give you a denarius or a fourth of a denarius or whatever. He makes no commitment other than he says, whatever is right, okay, fair, well, I guess we'd call it today. You know, whatever's fair, I'll pay you. And those people apparently needed to work, so they trusted the guy to pay them something that was fair. That's what they did. So they went. And went out about the sixth and the ninth hour, so now we're talking noon, 3 in the afternoon, okay? And so some have been working several hours, others just working a few hours. And it says, and did likewise. So he did the same thing, found people idle that still hadn't been employed by anybody, hadn't made a deal with anybody. And then about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle. So the day is getting close to being over. It's getting pretty close. 11th hour, it'd be 5 in the afternoon. They were idle. So why have you been standing here idle all day? And the answer is, well, no one hired us. Okay. And some days, you know, there'll be people at those temporary employment places that no one hired them all day long. Okay, they've been waiting. No one came by. No one needed their services, whatever it was they could do. And so that's what these people said. We've been standing here all day because nobody came and offered us any sort of job for the day. So he says to them, you also go into the vineyard and whatever is right you'll receive. So, I mean, that's basically what, other than the very first group. Now, he made a contract with them. You work all day, I pay you a denarius. But all the other people, you know, at 9 o'clock and 12 and 3 and 5, he says just whatever is right, because they weren't working a full day. Some of them were going to be working more than others, but none of them, of those other groups, were working a full day. So he says, I'm just going to pay you whatever's right. I'll pay you what's fair. And since they had nothing else to do, they were idle, it says. They weren't doing anything. They all said they would. So, verse 8, but remember, this is all about the kingdom of heaven. He's trying to teach us some especially one significant point about the kingdom of heaven here. This doesn't tell us everything about the kingdom. We have to look at a lot of other accounts. So, verse 8, so when the evening had come, okay, the work day is over now, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. Of course, he did that on purpose. He started with the last to the first. Remember how Matthew 19 ended? But many who are first will be last, and the last first. So remember, there's a continuation here of this same idea. So he starts with the last. it says, and call them and give them their wages. And when those came who were hired about the 11th hour, remember those were the last, hired at 5 o'clock, they hadn't worked very long, time-wise. We're assuming here they all basically did the same thing in the vineyard. Maybe they were picking grapes, maybe they were cultivating, whatever. But they'd only worked for a very short period of time, the people who were hired last. And he gave them a denarius. Wow, that's pretty good. Because that was a typical wage for a worker in the first century. So they had only worked maybe an hour or two, and they got a full day's wage. I'm looking for one of those jobs. If you know of one, please tell me about that. But that's what he did. And he had every right to do it, didn't he? I mean, he was the boss. Okay, don't call him that. He was the boss. He owned the vineyard. He hired the people. He paid the people. He said, I'll pay you what I think is fair. So it was entirely up to him to give them whatever he desired. He could have gave them a tenth of denarius. He could have gave them more than a denarius. I mean, it was entirely up to him. They had nothing to say. They just said, I'll come and work with you, and you know, you're just going to give me whatever you think is fair. So he could have gave them anything, and they couldn't have griped about it. And that's something I think we need to get out of this. Regardless of what they received, not a single one of them had anything to gripe about, or complain, murmur about. So they got a denarius, and when the first came, so they had, remember he started with the last ones first, and then he went back to those hired at 3 o'clock, they got a denarius, noon, denarius, 9 o'clock in the morning, denarius, they'd all got one, every single one of them. But when the first came, they supposed, that's the word here, right, they supposed that they would receive more, because they were obviously all, you know, they worked for the same man, they ended up knowing what everybody else got. So they had seen these guys that were hired at 5 o'clock and worked an hour or two, and they got a full day's wage. And then all the other people did too. And so we go down, the very first ones, they had seen how generous the boss was. They'd seen how generous the landowner was. So they supposed, they assumed they would get more. Well, the story doesn't exactly end like they thought it would, does it? And they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained, they grumbled, they murmured against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour. See, the ones hired at 5 o'clock. They just worked from 5 to 6, basically. They worked about an hour. And you made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the heat of the day. Well, there was another assumption. That equal only in the sense that they had gotten that denarius. He says, you know, we worked all day long, 6 o'clock to 6 o'clock. We worked basically 12 hours. So he comes back and says, friend. See, he's not being ugly with them. He calls them friend. I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? That's exactly what, you know, he went to that employment place and said, I'm going to hire some people. He says, I'll pay you a denarius a day for working from 6 o'clock to 6 o'clock. It was agreed upon. They were happy with it. Because these people didn't have any job, remember? This was kind of like going to a temporary employment place today. They had no job whatsoever. No money coming in whatsoever. So the landowner offers them a job for that day to work from 6 to 6 and get paid a denarius. And they were happy with it. There's no indication that they were begrudging him because when he was first hiring them, that he didn't pay them two. No, they were happy because that was a typical wage. Just like paying them paying somebody today a typical wage to work for an 8-hour day or something. And they agreed to it, said, okay, we'll do it. Okay, yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I know that has went down to the temp place to hire people when he asked them, said, you know, we're going to do such and such and such and such, and I'll pay you so much. Even though they had no money coming in whatsoever, none, they said, you know, that just sounds like too much work. I don't know how many people have told them that over time. Yes.
Your analogy is a little faulty because I cannot see your father paying somebody the same thing 8 hours a week for one.
That's true. That's a good point. I'll tell him that next time I talk to him. Said, you wouldn't believe what Skip said. Very true. Yeah, that's true. So these people are, they were getting nothing. They were just standing there. So the guy offers them to pay him a full day's wage. So basically he said, you know, didn't we agree with this at the beginning of the day? Isn't this exactly what we said at the beginning of the day? So he says, verse 14, take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. So he says, that was my wish. He didn't have to. Remember, all he had told them was that I'll give you what's fair. I'll give you what's right. So he said, it was in my power to give them whatever I wanted to give them. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I'm good? See, they were trying to make him out to be some sort of bad guy, and he hadn't done anything wrong. They were jealous, really, weren't they? They were jealous of the people that only worked 1 hour and got a denarius, or they worked 12 and got one, even though that's exactly what they agreed to. They were jealous of the people that only worked an hour. So, you know, he says, is your evil eye, and in evil eye a lot of times in the Bible talks about jealousy. You know, someone that has an evil eye, they're jealous of other people. And these people were jealous. The ones that were hired at 6 o'clock in the morning, they were jealous of the other ones. So he says, so the last will be first. Remember, that's exactly what the exact same expression he used at the end of chapter 19. And the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. So what does this have to do with the kingdom of heaven? Remember, this is not a discourse about economics in the first century. He says this is about the kingdom of heaven. Now, most of this is pretty obvious when it talks about the landowner and so much. Of course, we're talking about deity, God. He's the one that owns it all. It's his vineyard, if you will. And he has appointed a time of accounting, right? You know, at the end of the day, there's going to be an accounting and people will be given, all right? If you want to call them rewards, I guess that's what I would call it. And there are people called to work in the vineyard. This isn't a miraculous call. None of those people in this had to work in the vineyard, didn't they? He could have, when he came to hire him, saw him standing idle, and he said, you know, come and work in the vineyard, I'll pay you such and such. They could have said, no, thank you. There was no forcing on his part. Do you have a comment?
Well, the comparison that I see is Job becomes a Christian at this time, and Jesus becomes a Christian at this juncture. And he lives another 80 years.
Right, absolutely.
It's his job to keep his Christianity pure and to help bring in more and, you know, to live a Christian
life.
Whereas Tom became a Christian at this juncture of his life, and he died the next day. He did what he could in his
life. That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's people that, you know, some become a Christian at 10 or 12 years old, and they're a faithful Christian 80 years. Some may not respond to the gospel until they're in their 20s or 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. I've known people in their 70s and 80s that responded to the gospel. Eternal life is that ultimate reward, period. I mean, again, whether you, like you said, became a Christian one day and died the next, your reward, you know, assuming everything was obviously like it's supposed to be, still eternal life. Still eternal life. Now, this doesn't have anything to do with, in my opinion, has nothing to do with, you know, are there degrees of reward, degrees of punishment? That's not what this analogy is about at all. And that's why I said you have to look at other places in the Bible to find out other aspects of the kingdom of heaven. This is about time. This is about time. When people respond, you know, and if they... Now, if these people, you know, let's say, the first group, he said, I'll pay you a denarius to work the whole day. If they would have worked half a day, they'd have got nothing. And there's an analogy today. I mean, people, just because they start working in the vineyard, in the kingdom, doesn't mean they're going to work their whole life. They can quit. And my, we know so many, many, many people who have quit.
I think the Bible calls that finishing the race.
Yes, that's true. And so many people do that. You know, they either think, well, this life's too hard. You know, I can't remain faithful. You know, that just, I can't do it. Or they're asked to come, you know, and work in the vineyard. You know, that type of lifestyle is just too hard, can't do it. So there's all kinds of things that can take eternal life away from you. I mean, all kinds of things. But all of these people, that denarius they were given is still a gift. He could have gave them less than that. But it's a gift. It's a gift from God for working in the vineyard, though. You know, God wasn't going to give them, and in this case, you know, we're talking about the landowner. God is not going to give people eternal life if they don't say yes. They can stay idle if they want to. I mean, God does not force a single person. They can stay in that employment line or at the employment place their whole life. And God doesn't come there and, you know, try and force them or beg them to come and work in the vineyard. That's entirely up to them. But the reward at the end, and notice they didn't get the reward halfway through or three-fourths of the way through, is at the end of the day. That's when it came. Yes, see ya.
From the worldly standpoint, okay, this isn't fair. I tell my kids it's still a time of life, isn't fair. But from the Christian standpoint, these people that started at 6 in the morning ought have been thrilled that these other people only had okay. to work an hour and was going to get
Good
it.
Point.
They should have been so glad that these other people was going to get this.
Yeah.
That's
that jealousy and envy thing that comes up again.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
From a human standpoint, we look at it the other way. Well, it's
yeah.
Sure, I've worked all day.
Right.
But yet, I say, that's where the Christian thing is different.
Absolutely.
From where they are supposed to be.
Right, right.
And you know, they should have been grabbing and hugging these people because you got the same thing we did. And
yeah.
We're so happy for it.
Yeah.
But yet, they couldn't be happy for the other person.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, Skip.
Or something else.
Is this something else about my dad or...
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm gonna leave it down.
Okay.
Something else in this too. When they sit down, the owner of the vineyard, you know, you should do this, you should do that. A lot of us try to tell God how to run the world.
Okay, that's a good point too.
You know,
that's true.
And
or tell God it's not fair.
Right. You know.
Yeah.
That's the thing I'm getting out of it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of us try to tell, you know, yeah. God, this ought to happen, this ought to happen. You know, you ought to get on that.
Yeah.
And we ought to tend to our business.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, these workers had no right to tell the vineyard owner about any of his business whatsoever. He was the one that owned it. He was the landowner. They were just hired. Yes.
They should have been happy that they had more help to get.
Absolutely.
They had more people to talk to, relatives. et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. That evil eye just does, and that's what he brings out, that's such a big deal. That evil eye, people, boy, I tell you, they can get jealous and be envious of people. And that, and remember, there's a spiritual analogy here. You know, people in the vineyard that are working in the vineyard can get that evil eye. And that's what we have to really work at avoiding, is making sure we don't get that jealous, evil, envious eye at other people.
It,
yeah, amen. Yeah, absolutely. And be very thankful that eternal life is promised, regardless of when anybody responds to the gospel. Just be thankful that, like C.L. said, that they responded, that they accepted the invitation. Because most people don't. I mean, that's the truth. The vast majority of people do not accept the invitation. They just remain idle, if you will, and just say no. And unfortunately, that's the way it's been forever, essentially, and that's the way it'll always be. I think there's probably some other things in this that are important. We have a few minutes, and there's a couple other things I kind of want to talk about, but God, it's taught here that, you know, it's when he says, is it not lawful for me to do what I wish? You know, it's up to God. He's the one that grants eternal life. I don't grant you eternal life, and you don't grant me eternal life. We don't have anything to do with that whatsoever. But one thing we can do is when people do accept that invitation to come and work in the vineyard, we can be glad and we can help them, right? We can help them work in the vineyard. Especially if it's maybe we've been working in the vineyard a long time, and we know good ways to hoe, we know good ways to reap, we know good ways to do those things. Then if someone comes that maybe does not know those things, then I think we can learn, well, we can help them. We need to be glad they're now working in the vineyard because, like Missy said, it's more people to help, more people to work, so more can get accomplished. And more can get accomplished if we help them accomplish it. So it's kind of that team effort thing that the Bible talks about over and over and over again, how we need, like Galatians 6:1, bear another's burdens. So it's what we need to do. That's the same idea. So yes, God, it's up to God, and we need to help each other to do that and make sure we don't let jealousy or envy get the better of us. Because it can do that in the church just like in the world. We expect it in the world, don't we? You know, with people who aren't Christians, we expect them to be jealous of one another and envious of one another and all that. But we shouldn't see it in the church, especially with spiritual matters at all. We can be jealous of other people's abilities. We can be jealous of what other people have, what other people can accomplish. But it should be just the opposite, like was mentioned. We should be real happy and glad that they're able to do so much good. Yes, see ya.